No?
Miss.
Go ahead. That's Dennis, the minister.
That's better.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Bellevue Christian Church. We're happy that you're here today. We want to thank all the musicians. Today is our country church that we have every other month. Happy to have you here, and appreciate David Region for putting all this together and bringing people to our church to be able to do this kind of music for country church. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you and hope that you will fill out a visitor's card found in the pew rack and place it in the offering plate as it is passed. If you'd like to be added to our email list to receive a newsletter, we're happy to send that to you. All of the announcements are printed on the back of the bulletin, so you can read them there. I want to mention that I worked at the food bank last Tuesday and had a wonderful time. We gave out about 48 bags of groceries, and it was also laundry detergent day, so many people got laundry detergent. They only give that out once a month. I noticed a lot of people wanted coffee, but we didn't have coffee filters. So if you could think of things like that that they need, that would be very helpful to the food bank. A lot of times they get boxed macaroni and cheese, but then they don't have any milk to prepare it. So boxed milk is good. Coffee filters, they're really looking for toothpaste and toothbrushes, and they even give out diapers. It's just amazing the things that are needed at our food bank. Anyone that wants to join the Farm Project, please let me know. I'm going to do a little quick tutorial after church today to show some people that want to prep the bags, how to fold them and cut them. And I'm happy to show anyone that wants to do that anytime. Just give me a call. Our prayer list is listed there. For those of you who remember Joan Kirkpatrick, she's back in Nashville now, and I know some of you know her. She's going to be living at the Lodge, and I'm going to plan to go visit her. So if anybody wants to visit Joan with me, let me know that as well. Are there any other announcements this morning? Any joys and concerns? Well, if not, let's move on to our affirmation of faith that's printed in the bulletin. We, who are gathered as Bellevue Christian Church, confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and proclaim him Lord and Savior. We believe the mission of Bellevue Christian Church is to worship God by gathering weekly around the Lord's table and committing ourselves to Christian unity, to seek to know God, and to make God known through study and teaching of the Scriptures, and to create a loving faith community that invites and cares for all of God's people. Please stand for our call to worship. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by whom we must be saved. Let us worship our child.
Thank you.
Gathering is Old Country Church, number 62, and it's in your gospel hymn book. If you didn't get one of these, let us know. We'll get one to you. But they've been in the back. Old Gospel Hymn Book, number 62. You need one?
I do.
Okay, let's get this fellow one. Thank you, Bob.
It's already open to the place.
Everybody.
Oh,
of us to share in the spiritual meal of grace and love. Let us pray. O God, thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to earth as the Son of Man, and for our salvation through him, for there is salvation in no one else. Your words bring comfort to our hearts, healing to our souls, and we are so grateful you live with us in spirit. We remember Jesus here at this Lord's table. We give thanks that a place is being prepared for each of us, and that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Help us carry out the works you would have each of us do, and may the love of Christ flow through us so that Christ's love is visible to everyone, everywhere. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
in a passage of Scripture that leads up to the crucifixion of our Lord. And this will lead us up to Easter as we remember his sacrifice. And it was around that time that he instituted what we're doing right now. And he said, when he passed the bread, he said, "Take eat, this is my body, it's broken for you." Let us proceed. In like manner, he took the cup and he said, "Drink. This is the new covenant in my blood, shed for men for the remission of sins. As often as we do this, as often as you do, just do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Thanks be to Christ for the bread of life and the cup of salvation. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. What a blessing it is to gather to worship. We've got so many blessings in life, and we probably often get distracted by problems around us. But just as the song says, count your blessings, name them one by one. And if we would do that, it would surprise us at all you've done. So we thank you. We pray your blessings on this offering, that it would be used for your glory and for your kingdom purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, all
you'd like to turn in your pew Bibles, our scripture today is John 14, 1 through 14. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on you know him, and you have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. It is sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. May God bless the reading and hearing of his holy word.
Thanks be to God.
How many of you get telemarketer calls? Okay, yeah, I could just tell. You know, and I think the big three, well, at least a couple of them that come, three. One is your car warranty is about to expire, right? You know, and so that one is aggravating. I've decided to play with them a few times, though. So, you know, I go ahead and push the button. They say, what year is your car? I say, well, I mean, I got a 2000. You know, Chevy Express, I'll say, it's a 2000. How many miles you got on it? And I tell them, and
I know, they're not going to give me
a warranty. I just like messing with them. You know, so, well, your car doesn't fit the profile of what we need. Or what I really like to do, and I've done this with them too, well, what kind of car I have? Well, you called me. You're supposed to know what kind of car I have. Finally, they hang up on me. Other day, I got one, and so I pushed the button, and it said, this is a courtesy call for the last time for your car warranty. So I pushed the button, and go, hello, car warranty services. I said, this is a courtesy hang up. It was like to have a little fun with it, but the one that is a big one. Well, there's another that I get every once in a while is a vacation. You know, we want to give you a free vacation that it costs you $500.
Yeah.
You know, so. Then this one. How many people have had someone call to buy your house?
Oh.
That's the big one that's going on right now. We want to buy your house. And I would get these calls every week. And so finally I thought, I need another gimmick rather than just to say I'm not interested. So I said, when this lady called, I said, well, I really don't have anything to sell, but I can tell you where you could get a place that's just out of this world, and it won't cost you, you know, the price is unbelievable. She goes, oh, where's that? I said, in this passage, John chapter 14, Jesus said that I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I said, if you accept Jesus as your Savior, you can have that. And she said, oh, well, I already believe. But I want you to know, the number of those calls has diminished greatly after that. So you might try that. So that is the passage that we're in this morning, where we start off here in John chapter 14. And Jesus is preparing his disciples with the fact that he is going to be leaving them. Those of you who've been studying with us on this in previous weeks, you get the context of this. This is in the last 24 hours of Jesus' life here on this earth. And quite often, this passage is lifted out and is given as a single message a lot of times at funerals, because it's very appropriate, you know, where we may need to be comforted, and we know that there is a place, a better place. And so, you know, but we get the context of it when we realize that this is at the end of Jesus' life here on this earth. And so he is preparing his disciples, and he says the words, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Now, some commentators, you know, I was reading, said that it was a command. Well, that I find it hard to believe that Jesus would be insensitive about this, because just a few verses before, it says that he was troubled in spirit. So I don't think that it's just a flippant command. I think he's encouraging his friends, his followers, and saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. The word believe, it's not just simply a mere assent that you believe that, yeah, Jesus is the Son of God, and you just don't make him the Lord of your life. It's the word trust in the Greek. Now, we use that word trust. Banks use it. You know, First Bank and trust. We use it as a legal instrument, a trust. It just seems to add some muscle to the idea of belief. And so Jesus says, you trust in God, you trust also in me. Now, there are three things that I want to pull out of the following verses up to verse 6. He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, King James says, in my Father's house are many mansions. New King James says that. Some of the translations say many rooms. In the Greek, it was actually dwelling places. Now, we get the idea of mansion. Oh, I've got a mansion on a hilltop. It just doesn't have the ring to it if we say, I got a room on a hilltop. Or built my room next door to Jesus instead of built my mansion next door to Jesus. But what it really means is dwelling place. And don't let that discourage you, because I believe if I lived in a pup tent in heaven, it would be better than anything I could experience here on this earth. You know, because we'll be there present with the Lord. And we kind of put things in the way we look at things, we base it on what we know and what we're familiar with. So Jesus is saying, there are many dwelling places, and I go and prepare a place for you. So, three P's here. The first one is place. He goes to prepare a place for us. But secondly, there's the promise. He says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, which literally means, and since I'm going to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. Now we're going to hear from two disciples other than Peter in this passage this morning. You know, usually it's Peter who opens his mouth, right? And then it's kind of like, ooh, maybe I should have just kept quiet. I mean, I've done that, you know. So anyhow, it's Thomas. And Thomas said in verse 5, Lord, we do not know where you're going. And how can we know the way? Jesus very simply said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, that is the pathway. So we have the place, his promise that he will come and take us to be with him, and the pathway. Listen, the pathway to get there is Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus saying, well, I'm one of the ways to get there. There are many ways to get there. He says, I am the way. Now, coming here this morning, there's probably 30 different variations that I could have taken to get here. You know, there's the big roads, of course. It could be I-40. It could have been just going up Murfreesboro Road for a while, and it could have been going 440. And then you get all these back roads. There's a lot of variations of getting here. But Jesus says, I am the way. That's the pathway. It's through Jesus. You know, sometimes people will say, well, that's pretty dogmatic. What Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. See, we're in a day where truth is so relative. So they said, your truth may not be my truth. What? Truth is truth. The measurement is what it is. It's like the story of the little girl who was lying on the floor, and she decided she was 6 feet tall. And she went to her mom and said, I'm 6 feet tall. And her mom says, well, what did you get? I mean, you're 6 feet tall. She said, I took my shoes off and I laid them beside me 6 times. Wrong measurement. It made sense, but it was the wrong measurement. And that's what happens in our world. So Jesus is the pathway to eternal life. And you might say, what does that mean? He's the only pathway. If he is the pathway, he is the pathway. That's just a gated community. There's only one way in. You know, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. And it goes on and says, if you know me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. So now we hear from another disciple, and this time it's Philip. And Philip is kind of scratching his head. I can just kind of see that. And he's going, Lord, show us the Father. And then it'll be sufficient for us. So Jesus says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And Philip says, show us the Father. Jesus said, have I been with you so long, and yet you've not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. So Jesus is saying, if you see me, you see the Father. About 80 years ago, Watchman Nee was the first one to present this. C.S. Lewis did later. That Jesus was one of three things. Either he was Lord, or he was a liar, or a lunatic. You know, it's like, either what he says, he is Lord. You can't just say, well, I think Jesus was a good prophet. What? If he's not who he said he wasn't a good prophet. He would have been a liar, or he would have been crazy. Or Lord. He is Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our way to the Father. Jesus said, believe the work that I've done. You've seen the miracles. You've seen all those things. Doesn't that kind of signify who I am? Then at verse 12 through 14, he says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now, that really has caused some people to really get in there and say, I'm going to do something greater than Jesus. Oh, and you can listen to some of the TV preachers manipulate that and just go with it and all that. But on the day of Pentecost, something great happened that the disciples were a part of. There were not hundreds of people who came to know Christ. There were thousands of people that came to know Christ. The greatest miracle of all is salvation through Jesus Christ. Because if we get healed here on this earth, guess what? Everybody who was ever healed in the Bible died. It's all temporary. But the greatest miracle is salvation through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the gospel miraculously spread like wildfire after Jesus died and arose from the grave. And when these bold disciples proclaimed on the day of Pentecost, thousands not only believed, but thousands were baptized that day. It was a banner day for the church. And so the gospel continued to spread. And because of that, you know, we have the gospel today. Greater things. Sometimes people think, well, that means I'm going to do greater miracles than Jesus. Now, I have never risen anybody from the dead. The closest I've got is, I've said, our invitation to him is such and such, and somebody wakes up. But I've never done that. I've never healed anyone. I prayed for people to be healed. You know, and I realized that it is going to be according to God's will. Now, John says here in verse 12, actually 13, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, does that mean anything in his name? Well, what does it mean in his name? You see, it was also John who wrote in the first epistle of John, chapter 5, 14. Now, this is our confidence that we have. I can't even read my writing. This is our confidence. And if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. We ask anything according to His will. So now, here in the Gospel, John says, if we ask anything in His name. And I believe that asking in His name includes asking in His will. So you can't just say, well, Lord, I pray that you would give me this new thing. I pray that you would give me, you know, this new fun thing. You know, sometimes people have misused that verse and said, I believe that God will give me a new car. Well, if He's going to give you one, you better be asking for one that's very cheap on gas. You know, make sure you get a little more specific here. Nah, it's not about that. It's about us asking things in His name according to His will. And we accept His will. You know, because sometimes we will pray for something specifically and it doesn't work the way that we want it to. How many of us have prayed for a loved one to be healed physically? And we were sincere, and we prayed in Jesus' name, but they weren't healed physically. But if they knew the Lord, they had the greatest healing. Several years ago, I was pastoring a different church, and there was a fellow named George Pearson who had lymphoma cancer. And George had received healing. He came and gave a testimony at our church, and he said, my friend, and I don't know what his friend's name was, but he said, my friend had lymphoma. And he said, he's a believer too. We prayed for him too. And he said, my friend got the ultimate healing. But about 3 years later, George got the ultimate healing too. And he believed that. And that really is true. Jesus is the pathway to eternal life. And it's my prayer that you know Him, and that if you don't, you will make that decision to surrender your life to Him. So we'll have a resurrection right now, and I'll say the hymn of invitation is. It is Where the Soul Never Dies. Number one. Yeah, I've got to look at that. Okay. Let's stand.
Number 101.
Thank you.
thank you all again for being here. We always welcome these musicians, and we consider it an honor and a privilege that you come and share your talents with us and give your praises to the Lord. Our closing hymn is going to be "I'll Fly Away." Let's pray and welcome. Lord, we again thank you for all your blessings. Thank you that we can gather together and lift up your name. Because what we want more than anything in this day is for you to be lifted up and glorified. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.